Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to be learning Ksubas Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We already got to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Le'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom Nisham Hashem Aliyah. And we certainly wish a profound sense of nechama to Dr. Landerer and his entire family. It is also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Kapel in commemoration of the first yard site of Ken's father, Israel Kapel, which was yesterday. Israel was a survivor, and until his patir was the only surviving grandchild of the first Majitzer Rebbe, Rabbi Israel Taub, the Divrei Yisrael, for whom he was named Yisrael ben Yaakov Emanuel, is a Shem Shavet Aliyah. Also sponsored by Dr. Gottesman on the occasion of his father's yard site, Moshe Binyamin ben David Yehuda, whose yard site is today. Also in memory of Tzvi ben Sadok Shakarchi, I'm sorry, I'm butchering that, by Sheldon and Drora Waltuck, the yard site is today. And also sponsored by the SaferTorah.com, which is just to give you a perspective of who's sponsoring this, said all of us who learned Daf Yomi and probably everyone in Klal Yisrael benefits regularly from the Art Scroll Gemara, or the Art Scroll project, whether it be an Art Scroll Siddur, Machzor, or the Gemara. And obviously the driving force behind Art Scroll was Rav Meir Zlotowitz, and all of the encouragement that he got through Art Scroll was from Hagon Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. One of Rav David's desires before he passed away was that a Sefer Torah should be written, L'Zecher Nishmas, his good friend and Talmud Rav Meir Zlotowitz. And now everyone is given the opportunity to do so and express their Hakaras HaTov to Rav Meir Zlotowitz for all he's done to participate in this Sefer Torah campaign. It's like $10 an os and can be dedicated at thesefertorah.com. So that's another sponsorship announcement of the DAF. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. The first we're going to have the Mishnah is going to talk about a dispute whether she was a Mukas Eitz or whether she was a Drusas Ish, meaning they're both in agreement that something happened before Erisin, that before they ever had Erisin with each other. But what exactly happened? Was she with a man, or was she Mukas Eitz? And the Machlokas, there's going to be Machlokas in the Gemara about what each of those claims mean, meaning how much is he saying that he's obligated to pay, and how much is she saying he's obligated to pay. Then the Mishnah is going to have, the next Mishnah is going to have a Machlokas, if a woman is believed about the man that she was with to avoid the status of Zona. Let's say she identifies the man that she was with, and she says that he's a kosher, and we suspect that maybe he wasn't a kosher, and that she's therefore a Zona. So do we believe her? And the Gemara is going to have a Machlokas Amarayim, whether the case in the Mishnah is that she had Yichon, or that she had Bia. And the Gemara is going to have six attempted proofs to see who is right in interpreting the Mishnah. When it says that she was Medaberes Imish Ploni, does that mean she had Yichud with the guy, or that she had Bia with the guy? And then on Amud Beis, about halfway through, the Gemara is going to have Machlokas Amoraim, whether the Machlokas Tanaim would extend to the daughter who never had a Cheskas Kashrus, meaning the Machlokas, whether the mother is believed to avoid the status of Zona, is that same Machlokas going to apply to the daughter as well? There's a reason to assume that everyone would agree that by the daughter, she has a problem because the daughter never had a Cheskas Kashrus to begin with. So let's begin again at the top of Daf Yud Gimel Aleph at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about the following case. A man marries a woman and she's not a Basula, whether it's Pesach Pasuach or he finds that there's no dam, and he, Omer, as she says, look, I never had beer with another man, but you're right that I don't have Basulim because Mukas Eitzani. I had some sort of terrible accident that broke my Basulim when I was a little girl or something. V'hu Omer Loki, and the husband says, that's not true, that's not correct. Ela Drusas Ishat. I believe that it's possible at least that you are a Drusas Ish, that you had been with another man before Erisin, and therefore this is a Mekach Talus, because I thought you were supposed to be a Basula, and it turns out that you're not. So I'm going to leave say she's believed to say that she's a Mukas Eitz, and the husband cannot make her lose her Ksuba. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lomi Pianu Chayin. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't live based on what comes out of her mouth, meaning what's coming out of her mouth is not the truth. Ella, rather, the halacha is that so long as she's unable to prove that she was a Mukas Eitz, harezo b'chaskas drusas ish, ashtavi rai l'devreha, we're going to assume that she had been with another man unless she's able to prove what she's claiming. So says Gemara Tanasaya b'mai, okay, I understand that she's saying that she was a Mukas Eitz, he's saying she was a drusas ish. But what does that mean? Numbers-wise, what's he claiming he owes her? And what's she claiming he owes her? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'Masayim Umana, that she's claiming she gets the full amount of the ksuba. She's claiming that a Mukas Eitz is entitled to the full amount of the ksuba. And he's saying you're a Drusas Ish, which means you're still entitled to something, but only a mana, not Masayim. Whereas Rabbi Lazar Amar b'Manavel Oklomu, no, she doesn't think a Mukas Eitz is entitled to the whole amount of the ksuba. She just thinks she's entitled to something. She's at least entitled to ksubas al mana, a ksubas of mana, a ksuba of mana. And he's saying, no, you're a Jew Sasish, and therefore you deserve zero. So says Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'Masayim Umana, why does Rabbi Yochanan hold that the whole dispute is over whether it's 200 or 100? So Savla Krav Meir, he holds that with that the town of our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rav Meir, the Amar, whereas Rav Meir said in the Mishnah on Dafir Aleph Amid Aleph, that Bein Hikirba, Bein Lo Hikirba, when you have a Mukas Eitz, whether the husband was aware that she was a Mukas Eitz or whether he was totally unaware that she was a Mukas Eitz Masayim, either way, she gets 200 zuz. And that's why in our Mishnah, where the husband was not previously aware that she was a Mukas Eitz, she's saying, yeah, but I'm a Mukas Eitz, and therefore you owe me 200 zuz. Because in our Mishnah, we're following the sheet of Rav Meir that a Mukas Eitz, regardless of the awareness of the husband, is deserving of 200 zuz. Rav Lazar Amar b'manav lo klum, but Rav Lazar says, no, the argument must be about 100 versus 0, because Savar la Rabbanan, because he holds that the time of our Mishnah must be following the sheet of the Rabbanan, Tari Bein Hikir Ba Bein Lo Hikir Ba Mana, who holds that a Mukas Eitz, whether you were aware of it or not aware of it, only gets a Mana, and therefore, according to her Taina, a Mukas Eitz is getting a Mana. So if she's claiming that she deserves 100, and he's arguing, so it must be that when he's saying she's a Drusas Ish, he's saying that she's entitled to 0. So says Mar Bishlam Reb Lazar Lo Kama Rabbi Yochanan, I understand why Reb Lazar doesn't want to say like Rabbi Yochanan that the whole dispute is over Masayim versus Mana to Kamoki Lakrabanan, because he'd rather say that our Mishnah is following the majority opinion, the opinion of the Rabbanan, who hold that a Mukas Eitz always gets 100, rather than to say that our Mishnah is following a Das Yachid of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Lomar Rabbi Lazar, but why did Rabbi Yochanan not want to say like Rabbi Lazar that the argument in our Mishnah is 100 versus 0, as opposed to saying that the argument is 200 versus 100, meaning why would Rabbi Yochanan say that our Mishnah is following a Das Yachad of Rabbi Meir when he could have just as easily explained that our Mishnah is following the more broadly accepted Shita of the Rabbanan? So answer the Gemara, the reason he didn't want to say it's following the Rabbanan is Kasavar, because he holds Knasa b'cheskas b'sul of nimtzeis b'ula yesh l'chsu b'mana, that if one marries a girl, assuming she's a basula, and it turns out she's a ba'ula, she's entitled to a ksuba mana. So you cannot say that she was claiming a mana, because if you hold that when the husband was expecting her to be a basula, and it turned out that she had been with another man previously, that she's entitled to a mana, then there would be no machlokas in the Mishnah, because if she's claiming a mana, and he's claiming a mana, so they're just arguing about how you got there, how you arrive at that number. That's an argument in mathematics, it's an argument in semantics. But bottom line, everyone is going to agree to mana. Hacha, hukar mamana. He's saying you're a drusas ish, and therefore you're entitled to only 100. Vihikar mamana. She's saying I'm a mukas eitz, and according to the Rabbanan, that means I'm entitled to a mana. So ma'ika bin tani didei l'tani didad. Then there's no daylight in between his taina and her taina. They're saying exactly the same thing. So that can't be the pshat in the Mishnah, and that's why we must assume that when she's claiming she's a mukas eitz, she's actually claiming she's entitled to 200, and therefore we're following the sheet of Rabbanan Meir, that a Mukas Eitz is entitled to 200. So says Mar Bishlam and the Rabbi Lazar, I understand Rabbi Lazar assumes that our Mishnah assumes that a Drusas Ish isn't entitled to anything. Hainu Diktani Tarti. That's why the Mishnah gives two different examples. We have the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the woman claims Misha Arastani Ne'anasti, that she was Ne'anas after Erisin, and we have the Mishnah over here where she says Mukas Eitz Ani. So I understand why I need both of those things. Chadala Afuki the Rami Bar Chama. One of these Mishnayos is to tell me against what Rami Bar Chama said back on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, that both according to Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, if the husband was unaware before the Kiddushin that she was a Mukas Eitz, and then it turns out that she is a Mukas Eitz, that she's entitled to nothing. So our Mishnah tells me that that's not true, because in our Mishnah, the woman is claiming Mukas Eitz. If Rami Bar Chama were correct, that a Mukas Eitz is entitled, that a Mukas Eitz that the husband was unaware of is entitled to nothing, the woman would never claim mukas eitz. She's claiming, obviously, that she's entitled to something. So that's what our Mishnah, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. The Chada and the Mishnah that we had previously about the woman claiming Misha Rastani Nanasti is the Afugimid Rabbi Chiya Bar Avinam Rav Sheshes, is to tell me not like Rabbi Chiya Bar Avinam Rav Sheshes, who said back on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis that a woman who gets married Becheskas Besula, and it turns out that she's a Bu'ula, is still entitled to a mana. So the Mishnah says, Loki Ela Adshol Loi Rastich by Mechi Mechotos, that Mishnah had to say that the husband's claim back to her was that no, you must have had a bia with someone before Erisin, and therefore you lied to me, and the whole thing was a Mechachtos. By him claiming it's a Mechachtos, he's claiming that I owe you nothing, that the whole thing was a Mechachtos. So you see clearly that Mishnah assumes that Katsa Becheskas Besulav Nimtzis Bu'ula, she's entitled to nothing, and that's against Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav Nomer of Sheshes, who held that Katsa Becheskas Besulav Nimtzis Bu'ula, she's entitled to a mana. So I see why I need two Mishnais, one to tell me not to follow a particular Das Yachid, another to tell me not to follow a different particular Das Yachid, one to tell me not to follow the Shita that if a woman was a Mukas Eitz and never told her husband about that, that she's entitled to nothing, and another to tell me not to follow the Shita that if a woman was supposed to be a Basula and turned out to be a Ba'ula, that she would still be entitled to a Mana. So Ella Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that when you marry a girl Becheskas that she's a Basula and turns out that she's a Ba'ula, we taka do hold that she's entitled to a Mana. So the Mishnah previously must be that when he says Loki Elad Shalur Estich Vayimechi Mechachtos, he's not saying Mechachtos Legamri, he's not saying I owe you nothing, he's saying I owe you a Mana. Well then, Tarti Lamali, why do I need both of these Mishnayos? The Machlokes from Galil Rabbi Shua by Bari Vishema could be learned from our Mishnah about a Mukas Eitz. Why do I need the previous Mishnah as well? We could have we could arrive at the same conclusion just from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Chadol Odiach HaKochad Rav Gamliel, V'Chadol Odiach HaKochad Rav Yeshua. Each Mishnah highlights how strongly a different one of the Tanayim hold their opinion. One Mishnah is teaching me that Rav Gamliel holds his opinion that a woman is believed very strongly, and the other tells me that Rabbi Yeshua holds his opinion that a woman is not believed very strongly. How so? Kamaisa, the previous Mishnah where the woman claims Misha Rastani Nen Nasti, that's L'diach HaKochad Rabbi Yeshua. That's to let you know how strongly Rabbi Yeshua holds that the woman is not Ne'emenes. That even though the woman has somewhat of a migo, because she could have said Mukas Eitz Anitach Techa, and then she, and if that were the case, she wouldn't be Pasul Lekuna, but still Lo Mehemna, she's not believed, because that's not a full migo. So because even if she were to say Mukas Eitz Ani, she's not Ne'emenes according to Rabbi Yeshua. But Sraisa, the second Mishnah where she says Mukas Eitz Ani, is Lo Diacha Kochad Ram Gamliel. It's to let me know the sheet of Ram Gamliel. Da'avagav the Lekalamim Ramigo, that even when she doesn't have amigo, there's no better claim that she could have made, Mehemna, she's still going to be believed. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that a Mukas Eitz gets a ksuba of Masayin. So whether if she claims she's a Mukas Eitz before Erisin, or whether she says she was a Mukas Eitz after Erisin, either way she gets Masayin. So there's no Migo because there's nothing better that she could have said. And nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel says, even though she's advancing her best possible claim, we're still going to believe her, because we assume that she has a Cheskas Kadshus, that she was not Mizana, and that she in fact is a Mukas Eitz. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. In this Mishnah, we're also going to have Machlokes from Gamliel Rabbi Shua, whether a woman is Ne'emenes about something, but this Mishnah is not talking about an argument over a Ksuba. Now we're shifting a little bit. We're not talking about arguing how much money he owes her. We're shifting out of Dine Mamanus, and we're now moving into Isser Veheter. It's a status issue. She wants to make sure that she is not a Zona, that she does not have the halachic status of a Zona. Again, Zona in this context is not a pejorative. It's not just something that you call a person. It's a halachic status which would pass her to a Kohen. And we're not sure whether to believe her about that. The pasuk in the Torah says, Isha Zona v'chalala lo yukachu ki kodeshu le'lukav, that a woman who is halachically a Zona is not allowed to marry a Kohen. A Zona is anyone that had bia with Nivalala Pasala. She had bia with someone that passes with Lukuna, with a Goy, with an Eved, with someone who she's chayiv karis for. Others say that even a woman who was Mizana with with a guy who would be an Isser Lav to her, that also would be considered a Zona. That's the Shita Sarambam in Hilchos Isuribia. Some say that the woman is Asur, that even though she's Asur Lekuhuna, but she's not Asur Midin Zona, if it's just an Isser Lav, it's a different Drasha. And some say that it's a Din of Chalala, but either way, if a woman is Nivala Lepasala, it could make her a Zona. So it's very important to know when she had Bia with another guy, who that guy was. It's not just, oh, she misbehaved and therefore she's a terrible person. No, we need to know who that person was, so that when she does tshuva and she wants to get married, can she marry a Kohen? So, Re'ua Mitaberes, Imechad. If, let's say, a single girl has been seen, Midaberes. Now, what the word Midaberes means is the primary topic of today's daf. And there are only two possibilities. It could either mean that she had Yichud, or it means that she had Bia. One thing everyone agrees to is Midaberes does not mean that she spoke, because we know of no reason that a woman speaking to a man will make her a Zona. Okay, Al Tabra Sicha Meisha, and you know, Bruria had the whole conversation that you shouldn't be Marba Sicha Meisha even when you're asking directions, v'chule v'chule. Fine, but certainly does not make a woman a Zona. It does not give the woman a halachic status of Zona. So we know it definitely doesn't mean speaking. So Ru'ua Midaberes Im Echad. They saw this single girl being Midaberes with somebody. And we don't know if this somebody is a kosher or a pasul. And if he's a pasul, then l'chora, there's at least a possibility that she was nivala l'pasula, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So v'amulah, they said to this woman, mativa shalishta, who is this man that you were midaberes with? Is it a kosher or a pasul? And she says, ish ploni v'kohenu, it is so-and-so, and he is a kohen. So l'ch shlomo is mesupuk, whether the kohenu is part of her taina, or that's just what the mission describing what we found out, that she says, oh, it was Joe Cohn, and we say, oh, we know Joe Cohn, Vikohenu, he is a Kohen, right? That's the two ways of reading it. But either way, the point is that he's a miyuchas. He's someone who's kasha l'kuhuna. It's a lot dafka that he's a Kohen. The point is that he's kasha l'kuhuna. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Nehemenes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that she's believed and she's ksheru l'kuhuna because we give her cheskas kashrus and we're not going to pasul her misafik. I mean, she has a cheskas kashrus. We don't grant her anything. She has a cheskas kashrus, so that's not ruined based on a suffik. Rabbi Shua Omer Lomi Piano. Rabbi Shua, who is not trusting of women's tainas in these Mishnayos, says, "Lomi pianu chayin, we don't live what comes out from what comes out of her mouth. She's a liar." Ella harezu b'chaskas bu'ula l'nasan l'mamzer ash tavirai l'dvareha. We're going to have to assume that she had bia with a nasan or a mamzer until she's therefore pasul l'kuna until she's able to bring a raya l'dvareha. A nasan is from the nesinim that were the descendants of the gavonim who converted in the days of Yeshua. Nun, they're called Nesinim because the pasuk says Vayitnim Yoshua b'yomahu chot ve'etzim v'shoa v'mayim, that Yoshua was nosin, was neat on them as chot ve'etzim v'shoa v'mayim. So he's not allowed to marry a regular Yisraelis. A mamzer, obviously we know, is from someone who's born from a relationship that was chive krisos or worse, and that's also an Isser Lavo b'kal Hashem. So either of those situations would have made her pasul l'kuna. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm going to assume that she's pasul l'kuna until she's able to prove otherwise. Haisam u'beres, another case. Let's say I didn't see her midaberes, whatever midaberes means. You know what I see? I see that there's a single girl and she is pregnant. And we say, well, how did this happen? And she says, Meish ploni v'koinu. It was my boyfriend, and he's a perfectly miyuchas. So Rav Gamliel, Rav Lezer, Omrim Ne'emenes. Rav Gamliel, Rav Lezer say, we believe her, she's kasha l'kuhuna, she has a cheskas kashrus, she does not become pasul misafik. Rav Yeshua Omer, lo mipianu chayin. Rav Yeshua says, we cannot trust her. Ela harezo b'cheskas muberes nasan mamzer ashtavirai l'dvera. We're going to have to assume that she was muberes to nasan mamzer until she brings Zaraya. It's interesting, the Mishnah leaves out one important point. If we know who Ish Ploni is, why don't we just go ask him, right? Meaning, what's he saying over here? She just made a startling accusation that he's the father of her child and they are unwed, right? So what does he have to say for himself? So many of the posts can point out, it doesn't matter, because he doesn't really, he doesn't know where else she's been. Even if he did have beer with her, even if he admits it, some of the posts can say, that's not enough for us to know that the child is kosher. Because after all, just like she's been promiscuous with him, maybe she's she's been promiscuous with other people also. Meaning the fact that she's a prutza does not help her case, right? It's not gonna help us assume that it must be from him. It could have been that's a reflection of her overall behavior. So that's how some of the poskim interpret it. But either way, we have two cases in our Mishnah, one where we just saw her midaberes, whatever that means, and one where we saw that she's pregnant, and in each case she claims that the guy that she was with, that the man was kosher, and it's a machlokas, how to understand, it's a machlokas whether we believe her in both cases. So says Gemara, the million-dollar question now, my midaberes, what does the word midaberes mean in this context? So Ziri Amar Nistera, it means that she had yichud with the guy. Ravasi Amar Nivala, and Ravasi says no, it means that she had bia with the guy. So Tosfos, there's machlok Rishonim over here. Tosfos understands in Dibra Maskeva Ein that according to Ziri, it's dafka if she's moda we saw her have yichud, but then she was moda that she had bia with the person because she says ish ploni v'kohenu. So she's being moda that she was nivala, meaning she's not just saying I was just schmoozing with ish ploni v'kohenu. She's saying that I had bia with this ish ploni v'kohenu, and that's where Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that she's asur misafik, because maybe it was a possible person that she actually had bia with. But if she says that she never had bia, so then we have a svek sveka. We didn't see that she had bia according to Ziri. We only saw that she had yichud. So safek, one safek is did she have bia or did she not, and then a second safek is the man kosher or apostle. So svek sveka, we have to be makel, says Tosfos. It's only in the case where she admits that she had bia that we have a problem. Whereas Rov Rishonim disagree that even if she says lo nevalti, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say apostle. So whether she says nevalti or lo nevalti, Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that she's ne'amenes. Rabbi Yeshua is going to say she's ain't ne'amenes. Rabbi Gamliel is going to say she's ne'amenes. What about svek sveka? This isn't a svek sveka. She had yichud. Eina petropos la rayus. We assume that yichud is a raglayim l'davar, that there must have been something going on. Eina petropos la rayus. It's like, it's not quite hein hein edi yichud hein hein edi biya, but close to that. That we assume something must have been going on. Okay, so now we have this machlokas hamarayim. What does the word medaberes mean? Does it mean that she had yichud, or does it mean that she had biya? So we're going to have six rayas to try to prove one way or the other. So raya number one. Bishlam ziiri hainu duktani medaberes. I understand according to Ziri, that it means that she had yichud. I understand why that would be called midaberes. But according to Ravasi, why would the Mishnah use lashon midaberes? What does midaberes have to do with bia? You know, midaberes, when you're biyichud, if you're not having bia, you're talking. So I understand midaberes. But if you're having bia, you're going to describe it as midaberes. So then the Gemara answers, yeah, lishna ma'aliyah. The Mishnah likes to speak in a cleaner type of lashon, kiddichsiv, like the pasuk says, that it calls bia achila in a different context as well, because it says achla umach safia va'amr lo pa'alti oven, that she eats and wipes her mouth and says that I didn't do anything wrong, and that's not describing eating and wiping the mouth. It's describing a woman having bia and cleaning herself off and then saying I did nothing wrong. In the Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnayos, in the Yafun Vaz Mishnayos, he says the reason that it says lishna ma'alia dafka in this Mishnah, even though in many other places in Mishnayos we do find the lashon of bi'ila, so why would it be so hard for this Mishnah to use such a lashon, is because the Mishnah used the term drusas ish, and the Mishnah had no option but to use that term, and whenever we describe a woman as being trampled by a man, that is an extreme not lishna ma'alia. So it says it's very so, the Mishnah is trying to balance itself, that since it was forced to speak in a way that is not at all refined, it now has to try to compensate for that by speaking in a super refined kind of way. The Shidduch Betzis points out, you know, one could ask, why doesn't the Mishnah say a lashon of stira, which is also a lashon of ma'aliyah? Why would it say medaberes? There's another way to say yichud, by, like throughout Sota, we always say v'nistira v'hinitma, that it's kinoyu stira. So why does it have to say such a lashon that's so lo muvan, it's so hard to understand? Because he says, because if it would have said a lashon of stira, we would not have said that it means bia. We would have said that it means yichud. And that's why it says has a lashon of that's so far from Bia to sort of raise our eyebrows and say, what's this about? Oh, it must be a super lashon of Ma'alia, and it's really a reference to Bia. Okay, raya number two. Bishlam ze'iri ha'inu d'ktani tarti. I understand, according to ze'iri, that the case of midaberes means that they had yichud. Now I understand why you need two cases in our Mishnah. Midaberes, umu'uberes. A case where she was midaberes, where we only saw her have yichud, and a case where she's pregnant, where we now know for sure that she had Bia. El Ravasi tarti lamali. But according to Ravasi, that midaberes means that we know she had Bia. Why do I need both cases in the Mishnah? What difference does it make whether the Bia made her pregnant or not? Either way, we know what happened over here. We know that she had Bia, so why do I need both cases? So says the Gemara, the Reishas needed to tell me that Rav Gamliel is matir this woman Lakuna herself, and the Seifas needed to tell me that not only she mutaris Lakuna because she has a cheskas kashrus, her daughter also that came from this Bi'ila is mutaris Lakuna, even though the daughter herself doesn't have a cheskas kashrus, because from the time the daughter was born the suffix was already in place. That's how Rashi understands the suffix has been there the daughter's entire life, so she never had a moment of cheskas kashrus. So therefore, the Mishnah is written in like a lozu avzu kind of way, that not only if she's midaberes is she kosher, but even by a mu'uberes, the daughter is going to be kosher, even though there's no cheskas kashrus. Tosos explains that the Reish is coming to teach me kochod Rabbi Yeshua, that even she herself is pasul, and the Seif is coming to teach me kochod Rabbi Gamliel, that even the daughter is going to be kosher. So says Gemara, hani chalaman yamar l'divya makshar ba makshar bita. That works very well if you assume that that's in fact true, that Rabbi Gamliel, who is makshir the woman, will also be makshir the daughter. Elmander v'divya makshar ba posa levita ma'ikal meimar. But if you hold that Rabbi Gamliel shita is that no, only the mother is kosher, the daughter is going to be pasul. Well, then what's the chiddush of the seifa? The chiddush of the seifa can't be that the daughter is kosher, because nobody holds the daughter is kosher. The daughter is pasul. So Rav Asi says, "Kamandiam devira makshuba makshur bita." By Rav Asi giving this understanding of the Mishnah that midaberes means niveles, he must be assuming that Rabbi Gamliel is going to be makshur the daughter as well, and therefore the chiddush in the second half of the Mishnah is that the daughter is kosher as well. Now a third challenge. According to Ze'iri, that midaberes means yichud, v'am Rabbi Shua lo mehemna, and Rabbi Shua says that the woman is not believed to say that lekasher nevalti, even though all they had is yichud, no one saw that they had any bia, because since they had yichud, we assume that that there must have been a bia. Hamarav malkin al yichud, veinosun al yichud. But wait, Rav says that we give makas mardus if a person has yichud with someone that they should not have yichud with, but we do not ask her a woman to her husband just because she had yichud with some strange guy, some guy she should not have had yichud with, because as long as we don't have a raya brura that she had bia, she's still mutaris labayla. So lemadolok Rabbi Yeshua, is Rav therefore against Rabbi Yeshua? According to Rabbi Yeshua, all we know is that she had yichud. Rabbi Yeshua says that she's pasul lekuna, even though all she had is yichud. And so what's the bikasha? So Rav is against Rabbi Yeshua. So the Rashi and the Ran explain the Gemara's kasha is because Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Hey. In Kiddushin Ayin Hey, you have Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, about an Arusa that became pregnant, and the woman says, Lekasha Nevalti, that according to Rav, she's the Vlad is also to marry a Bas Yisrael. And according to Shmuel, since she says, Lekasha Nevalti, she's Ne'amenes. So you see that Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua. So how could it be that Rav over here, that when Rav says, Malkan Ali Yichud, Vein Osir Ali Yichud, that that's against Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua holds just having Yichud alone was enough to answer her and pass the lacuna in our Mishnah? So says Marna, Afilu Teima Rabbi Yeshua, Mala Asubiyuchsin. It could be that Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua, and nevertheless, it could be that when it comes to Kahuna, we're going to make an extra Chumrah that she'll be possible. Meaning, Eina Chinami, Eina Osrana La Yichud. We will not ask her a woman to her husband based on the fact that she had Yichud with somebody, but we will ask her to La Kahuna based on Yichud. We always make extra Chumras when it comes to Kahuna. A fourth Raya now. Again, in this Machlokas, what does Midaberes mean? Does it mean pregnant? Does it mean Yichud or does doesn't mean bia. So mesve ruah shnichsay mechel leseser. We saw her go somewhere into a private area, olachorva, or to a ruin somewhere, and that's a place where people have znos. Va'amr lamati v'shalish that, and they said, what's the story with this guy that you had yichud with it? Is he a kosher person or is he a pasul person? So she says, kohenu ben achiyabahu. He's kohen and he's my cousin. That used to be my cousin was the what guys in yeshiva would say if the rebbe saw them with a girl, right? So they say, no, it's my cousin. So kohenu ben achiyabahu. So she says, it's this man is a kohen and he's my cousin. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Blazer, Omrim that menace. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Blazer say she's kosher lekuna. We believe her and she has this cheskas kashrus. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, lo mipi anu chayin. We don't listen to what she's saying. She's lying. Ella reizu b'chas gvul and nosan mamzah shtavi raya lidvareha. That we assume that she's b'chas gvul until she brings a raya lidvareha. So bish lama l'zi'iri. I understand very well, according to Zi'iri, that he holds that Rabbi Yeshua asers even b'yichud, where we don't know for sure that she had bia haynu d'ktani tarti. That's why the Mishnah has to give both cases of l'seser or l'chorva, that she goes into either a seser or a chorva. So because the seser means just having yichud, chorva means that you know that they had bia, right? Seser is to tell me how, that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe her, even though all we saw them do is have yichud. Chorva is to tell me that Rabbi Gamliel does believe her, even though we know that she had bia. El Ravasi damar nivela, but if Ravasi holds that nistera. That midaberis means nivala, but if all she had was yichud, Rabbi Yeshua would not answer her. So when the brisa says l'seser, it must also mean that she had bia. Well, then tarti lamali. Why does the brisa have to say l'seser or l'chorva if both of those things mean that she had bia? So chadukatani l'seser dichorva. No, it's not two separate things. It's one case. It's not saying two separate cases where she goes l'seser or l'chorva. It's that she went into the seser. What kind of private area? A churva, the kind of private area where people have bia all the time. Ayva l'seser o l'churva katani, but that's not what the words say in the brisa. The brisa said l'seser o l'churva. So it says more chad l'churva d'masav chad l'churva d'dabra. That they're talking about two types of churva. There's a churva that's in a city and a churva that's in more of an abandoned area. Utzrichi, and there's a chiddush in each one. If it only would have told me about a churva in a city, I would say Bahakam Akshram Gamliel Mishim Drov Ksheir Metzla. That's where in the churva that's in a city, that's where Gamliel's Machshir, because most people are kosher in the city. Mistamashi had bia with one of the people who live in the city, and it's a city that's mostly made up of kosher Jewish people, and therefore she's Ne'emenes, because she's saying that she had bia with who would be the rove of the population in that area. Aval churva de Dabra, but if it's churva in the middle of nowhere, to rove. Most travelers in the middle of nowhere are of the Chavim, so they were possible lakuna. So I would say that Rabbi Gamliel would be moded to Rabbi Yeshua that the woman is not ne'emenes to say l'kasher nevaltin against the rov psulin. So kamash v'lan that even when it's rov psulin, Rabbi Gamliel is still going to be machshir. So v'yashmin bahi, and if it only would have told me the machlokes from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about a churva in the middle of nowhere, I would have said that it's dafka bahi kam Rabbi Yeshua. Only then does Rabbi Yeshua not believe her. Aval baha, but if it's a churva that's in the city where most people are kosher, a mamoda Rabbi Gamliel, I might think that Rabbi Yeshua would be moda that we should believe her. So tzricha, that's why the Brisa has to tell me seser and churva. They're both about churva, so they're both about cases where we know for sure they had bia, because we're assuming, like the shita, if you're assuming like Ravasi, unless you know she had bia, there's no way you could answer her. The only way we could answer her is if we know she had bia. But two cases of knowing she had bia in the context of a churva de masa, and knowing she had bia in the context of a churva de dabra, and there's a chiddush in each one. So that's challenge number. I think that was number four or raya number four, whether the pascha like Rav Asi or Zeiri. So we've defended Rav Asi. So meisve raya number five. I think it's only five in the end. I said six before. I think this is the final one. So meisve, we have a brisa, we have a tosefta. That if a woman is pregnant and they say to her, what's the story with this baby? And she says, oh, it's from so-and-so and he's a Kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Blazer say that she's believed. Zo edus she'isha k'sherila. Such an edus that a woman says, l'kosher nevalti, she's kosher for. We believe her about such things. Rabbi Yeshua omer einen emenes. Rabbi Yeshua says that she's not believed about such things. Omelem Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Blazer, yatam odem shvuyish enishbeis v'yesha edem shenishbeis v'yomer estara nisha einen emenes. Don't you agree that if a woman is held captive, and she claims that that she's tahora, that she never had bia, that we do not believe her. So Amr lo, Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar said back to Rav Yeshua, aval, yes, we agree with that about a captive, but ma hefresh bein zu lezu. So Rav Yeshua says, okay, so what's the difference? So lezu yesh edim, lezu ein edim. So Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar respond back, a shvuya, there are edim that she had bia. So since she was captured amongst the nachrim and their prutz and barayos, it's ki'ilu there are edim. We're all edim. It's like hey, when you're dealing with a bunch of prutzim who are going to be able to take advantage of her. But when a woman only had yichud, then there are no edim, and there's no definitive confidence that she had bia, and therefore she's going to be nemenes to say that she was nivala l'kasher. So Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua said back, aflazu, even though you disagree with me on Mishnah, aflazu yesh edim, there is edim, shari kresa ben shinah, because she's pregnant, so we know she had bia. Amar losim, when Leon Rabbi said back, rov of the chavim prutzim barayos, same. Most of the chavim are prutzim barayos. So that part is a little, it's not clear what they're responding to. It seems pretty clear that they're not responding to the taina that she's pregnant. That when you say back, rov of the chavim prutzim barayos, what does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara is going to have to explain this part of the conversation. So Amalahan and Rabbi Shor responds to them, ain't up a trouble to barayos. So we're going to, so the Bryce has one more din, and then we're going to come back to explain it. But med, varma murim, when do we say that there's machlokas Rabbi Shor Mugliel, whether she's kasha lakuna, beidus isha begufa? That's when the woman is saying about herself that she was nivellus to a kasher. Aval eidus isha bebita, but if she's saying that she was nivellus to an adam kasher in order to be machsher her daughter from this that comes out of this bia, the divrei akol of vlad shtuki. Everyone's going to say that the vlad is a shtuki, which we're going to have to see what that means. So that's the brisa. So now says the Gemara, my kamerlu and my kamadri. What was Rabbi Yeshua saying? What did Rabbi Yeshua say? To them that they had to respond rov of the chavim prutzim barayos? That doesn't really respond to the question about her being pregnant. Sachi kamilei. This is what Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar were saying to Rabbi Yeshua. Hishavtenu ala muberes. You gave us a good answer about the pregnant woman. That yes, the pregnant woman is very similar to the shvuya in that in both cases we know that they definitely had bia. But matishigenu ala medaberes. But what are you going to say about the case of the medaberes? Why do you disagree with us in that case as well, where it's not at all like a shvuya? We don't know that she had bia. She could have said that she did not have bia. So Amalem, Rabbi Shor responds, medaberes and a shvuya, that medaberes and a shvuya are the same case, because by a shvuya we also didn't see that she had bia. So Amar lo, Amar Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar said, yeah, we didn't see it, but shiny shvuya, the rov of the chavim prutzim barayos, saying we may not have seen that she had bia, but rov of the chavim prutzim barayos. So chances are, so Amalem, Rabbi Shor said, hanami kiven destatering of a chavim prutzim barayos. And why are you so trusting of people who don't hold other women captive? Even a guy who goes alone and has yichud with a woman, ain't up a trouble to arise. We have to assume that there's bia as well. So she has no migo that she could have said lo nivellus. We assume that she is nivellus. So now the Gemara goes to use this brisa to ask on Rav Asi, who understood that medaberes means that we knew that she had bia. Katani mi astarti medaberes umuberes. The brisa seems to assume, therefore, once we touched up the brisa, that there's a case of meuberes, and then there's a different case where we don't know that she had bia called the medaberes. So isn't that a raya, therefore, that the word medaberes does not mean bia, that it only means yichud? The whole conversation of the brisa assumes that medaberes does not mean bia. So tiyufta to Rav Asi, tiyufta, so that puts this to rest. It's a tiyufta on Rav Asi. The Rimi Gash writes that since Rav Asi is a tiyufta, we pass on like Zeiri, but Lechoretz doesn't really matter because they're all arguing within the sheet of Rabbi Shua, who does not believe her. But we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel, that these women are believed anyway. So since she's believed even if she did have bia, so of course she's going to be believed when she doesn't have bia, so it's irrelevant whether you're passing like Zeiri or Ravasi, because Zeiri and Ravasi are only arguing within the sheet of Tanaim that we don't hold like anyway. So frankly, Gemara, how could Rabbi Yeshua compare a medaberes to a shvuya? The typically the hasam rov psulin etzla, hacha rov ksheir etzla. By a shvuya, most of the people that would have access to her would passel her. But over here, most of the people that would have access to her in the city would be kosher. So misayei l'adam Rabbi Shimon Levi, dam Rabbi Shimon Levi, l'divrei machshir, machshir afilu rov psulin, l'divrei apostel, apostel afilu rov ksheirim. That this machlokes from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua is so bifurcated, it's so strong, that Rabbi Gamliel is machshir even in situations of rov psulin, and Rabbi Yeshua, who passels is passels even in cases of Rav Ksherim. Amar Rav Yochanan, Divrei HaMachshir Ba, Machshir Bita, Divrei HaPosel Ba, Posel Bita. And not only that, Rabbi Gamliel says that she's kosher, would hold that her daughter's kosher too. Rabbi Shua says that she's passel, would hold that the daughter's passel too. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Divrei HaMachshir Ba, Posel Bita. Rabbi Lazar says, no, even Rabbi Gamliel says that the woman is kosher, the daughter has no cheskas kosher, she's going to be passel. So Amar Rabbi, my time is Rabbi Lazar, why does Rabbi Lazar think that Rabbi Gamliel holds the daughter would be passel? Because Bishlami Ihi, Isla cheskas kashrus. The mother has a chazakat kashrus. Bita less a chazakat kashrus. The daughter never had a cheskas kashrus. Say, so Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar challenges Rabbi Yochanan. We said in the brisa pamed varmamurim. When do we say that Rabbi Shmuel and Gamliel are disagreeing? Be edus isha begufa. That's about edus isha about herself. Avol edus isha bebita. We said the vlad is going to be a divrei kala vlad shtuki. The vlad is a shtuki. So my love shtuki apostle. Doesn't shtuki mean that the vlad is apostle? So don't you see that even if you're machshir ba, you pasel bebita? Lo, shtuki v'kashur. The word shtuki over here doesn't mean that she's pasel. It means that she's kashur as far as yichus, and she's allowed to marry a kohen. It's just a shtuki that the vlad won't be able to do avoda as a kohen, because even if his father's a kohen, he's not going to be allowed to do avoda. But he's, as far as yichus is concerned, he's a kohen, and we'll see why in a second. Umika shtuki kashur. Does the word shtuki ever describe a person who has kashur yichus? In kiddush shmuel, damar shmuel asar kohanim amdim pirush echad mehem ubal havlad shtuki. If you have 10 kohanim in a room and one woman, and then the woman gets pregnant, the vlad is definitely a kohen because all the potential men were kohanim, but he's a shtuki. So you see that a shtuki could be a kasher. My shtuki. So what does it mean that he's a shtuki? What don't we know about him? Means he doesn't get a yerusha from his father because we don't know who his father is. Pshita, that's obvious. We don't know who the father is. Of course, he's not going to get a yerusha. No, the shtuki part of it is that he doesn't get to do the avoda. He doesn't get to eat truma. So how do I know that? That the only one who can do avoda is someone who's zarum yuchas achrav. So if you don't know who the father is, even if you're 100% certain that the father is a kohen, he's not able to do the avoda. And that's what the price is saying. That even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the vlad is kashal kuhuna, he's still called a shtuki because he's not going to have the full din of a kuhuna in of a kohen, and that he's not going to be able to do the avoda. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Arisvar Sasso toward the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Shkach. Oh, thank you.